You are listening to the third episode of the Bridge Commission Audio Walks, a new annual commission that marks the opening of the Serpentine Sackler Gallery. 12 world-renowned authors have been asked to write short stories lasting for the duration of the walk between the two buildings. You will be able to download a new story each month from the Serpentine Gallery's website, www.serpentinegalleries.org. At the end of the year, you will have a collection of new writings to add to the books you already own. This story, titled Regency Green, was written by the Argentine writer Alan Pauls. It was read by actress Eleanor Brom. Alan Pauls is the author of the internationally acclaimed novel The Past from 2003. The Bridge Commission audio walks are supported by Bloomberg.
Dear B, by the time this letter finds you, I'll already have regretted writing it. But by then I'll be far away, too far to change anything. I'm wearing the green overcoat, Regency Green you called it the day you gave it to me, with nothing on underneath. As I think you also once said, only completely self-confident or unhinged women did. Those who are so out of their minds they can't think straight any more and get out of bed after a dreadful night and really put on the first thing they come across to go out in. For me, the first thing is this raincoat. My God, this stupid Regency Green raincoat I've worn every day since you gave it to me. We were on the bridge, do you remember? The same bridge I'm on now. At daybreak, to the astonishment of the half-dozen dog owners who have decided to make use of their last half-hour's sleeplessness to take their pets for a walk. If at this very moment a Martian were to come down in his flying saucer and land in the park, what idea would he get of the Earth? What strange image would he have of this gloomy, dimly lit world whose only inhabitants are idle young men, small restless quadrupeds, and a woman in a raincoat who is trembling beside a bridge. We were crossing the park together. As usual, you were a few steps ahead, striding along with that aimlessly rapid, so male way of walking you had. And I was further back, daydreaming as usual, because, as you used to say, you've always been a daydreamer. Admiring your slightly exaggerated cowboy gait, and wondering who that expensive white bag dangling from your hands behind your back could be for. Someone who wasn't me. The person you had in mind when you went into that shop you had never mentioned. The person for whom you bought such an expensive present that you had the nerve to be carrying while you were walking with me. Both of us tired after consuming, my expression, 2 hours of lovemaking in that hotel bedroom looking out onto the park. Were you already carrying the bag when you opened the hotel bedroom door? I've tried to remember ever since, but without success. All I can see, all I've been able to see until now, whenever I've tried to picture it, is your huge body suddenly filling the entire door frame like a giant suddenly appearing over the page in a children's story. And above it, your radiant conqueror's face, lit by that suicidal smile of yours that always drove me wild. I'm sorry, but that's all I see. But I can see the bag in the park that evening, see it as if it were today, as clearly as if I leaned over to count the ripples made by the water under the bridge. That's how I recall it. In a flash, I remember the stinging sensation between my legs after fucking on a weekday afternoon, the consequence of that delicious, guilty violence. And at that moment, I discover the white bag banging against your calves as you walk, as though you'd completely forgotten you were carrying it. I ran a few steps, and just as I was about to grab your arm, you turned and gave it to me, or rather... You thrust the bag at my chest just as though you were raising some kind of shield between us, and then let go of it, so that I had to catch it. And you said, 'For you, Mata Hari,' then turned on your heel and carried on walking. The most beautiful raincoat I had ever seen, the only one I ever had. By now you were crossing the bridge on your own, hands clasped behind your back like a wise old man lost in thought. That's what became of you without me. You grew old. A squawking bird flew into the frame, one of those repulsive common birds that spatter the park with droppings and dread. You were brought up short, as if it was going to attack you. I rushed to try the coat on there and then, forcing it on over my clothes as best I could, thrusting my arms through the holes. When I tried to catch up with you, my feet got tangled up in the bag and I almost fell. I was breathless by the time I reached you, clasping up the collar round my neck. 'Mata Hari is happy,' I think I told you, throwing myself at you to give you a kiss, but only managing to brush the corner of your mouth with my lips. I caught an unexpected clean smell from your skin, as if you had taken a shower while I blinked. For a moment, we set off very close to one another, walking in step. It seemed to me that all at once it grew colder. A capricious chill the raincoat must have brought with it, as black clouds or rain might have come, simply to justify something I hadn't been expecting, but was already part of my body, of me. 'It's Regency green,' you said, looking straight at me. It took me a few moments to realize you were talking about the raincoat. It was then that somebody shouted at us. I realized at once it was us he was shouting at, not the boy who was zigzagging, arms folded, on a bike, nor the couple walking down the riverbank hand in hand, slipping on the wet grass. I looked round. An old man in a hat was gesticulating angrily in our direction, waving the white bag. Withdrawing my arm from the fold of your elbow, I asked you to wait and went back, letting the old man's tirade against litter louts rain on me as I snatched the bag from him. When I turned back towards you, I saw you so far away I thought I'd miscalculated, or that at some point you must have quickened your pace, so I shouted, 'Wait for me!' You turned my way, but carried on walking. Moving backwards, you called out something, without shouting, at the same time shaking your head disconsolately. Whatever it was, I couldn't hear it, nor could anyone else in the park, because your words were drowned out by the noise from the engine of a taxi that was driving onto the bridge at that very moment. The taxi you hailed and we got into, and where we rode for a while in silence, you playing with your lighter that refused to light, your eyes fixed on the back of the ginger-haired driver's neck. Me still clutching the empty bag. Until we left the park behind. And when we were already in the city, as if the spell were broken, I realized I'd never asked you what you'd said on the bridge. Not then, or in the taxi, or later on when you dropped me off at home without either of us ever opening our mouths. And not even now, when I'm back on the bridge, and there's no trace left of what you said. Nothing apart from this moss-green raincoat, which I haven't taken off for weeks. Nothing apart from this letter. And the only thing I now want from it, for it not to find you, for you not to read it, for it not to reach anyone. None of those things that all letters have ever tried in vain to do. Only this, that it exists somewhere in the world, solitary and mute, like the scar of a wound no body will ever display."
Thank you for listening. For more information about the Bridge Commission audio walks, visit www.bridgecommission.org. serpentinegalleries.org.